Bang, bang. What's up, guys? Lunch money time. While Wall Street's trying to get rich, the rest of us just trying to get our lunch money right.
We don't have no lunch money today because we ain't got no Wi-Fi.
We ain't got no Wi-Fi, but we still figured out how to do this. That's fine. They want to knock out the Wi-Fi with the storm. We're still coming to you hot. I know you thought that we forgot that Polina was sleeping in or maybe I was taking a vacation. Mm-mm. That's not how this works, but I'm here.
The devil don't rest.
She's got on her Patagonia. She's ready to go to the wilderness if it takes that to get this to you guys. But here we are on Friday, lunch money time. Don't forget, lunch money is now sponsored by BlockFi. They've got three products. You can buy and sell crypto. You can deposit crypto and take out a U.S. dollar loan against it as collateral. Or you can use my favorite product as an investor and a user, which is that you can deposit crypto and a stablecoin. And you can receive up to 8.6% APY in an interest-bearing account. Awesome. Awesome product. Go check it out. BlockFi.com/lunchmoney. All right. What do we got?
All right. So two things happened. First,
our internet went out.
Second, President Trump issued an executive order that would ban TikTok from doing business with U.S. firms in 45 days. Since then, TikTok has threatened legal action against the executive order, saying that basically they're shocked by the order, claiming there has been no due process or adherence to the law.
What do you mean you're shocked? It's been all over the national headlines for weeks. You're literally banned in India. What do you mean you're shocked? Well, you guys been under a rock? You've been sleeping? Is it that there's no communication lines to China? You
Maybe
guys can't
their Wi-Fi
pay attention?
Went out.
Yeah, did your Wi-Fi go out? Come on, you're shocked. You're not shocked. You've been preparing for this. Also, you've literally been running ads. You went and hired a U.S. citizen as a CEO to try to prevent this from happening. You're not shocked. You were expecting
Okay,
this.
But there was no due process. How would you...
Well, it's an executive order. There is no due process. That's the beauty of an executive order.
Stop yelling.
Oh, I'll just Thanks. Talk. I'll talk lower. But that's the beauty of an executive order. Is you.
It's
you
not beautiful.
You don't need... Yeah, no, it is beautiful. Literally, you
for
don't
For the president,
need,
not for...
Here's the deal.
Whoever is on the other side of the executive order.
Well, stop stealing user data and potentially sharing it with the Chinese government.
Potentially sharing it.
Okay. Guess what? The U.S., in case everyone is confused, the U.S. and China are at war. We're in an economic war. We literally just had a free speech and democracy battle using Hong Kong as the battlefield, right? Now we're having it play out in the tech space. China has been at war with the United States for decades, and America is just waking up to this now. And not only did we go after TikTok, right? And the way they did it is prevent transactions. So that means three things. One, if you are an advertiser, you cannot advertise on TikTok after this 45-day period.
What if you're Apple?
Two, if you have them in your app store, you cannot do that. So Apple and Google will have to remove them from the app store.
Wild.
Three is... if all of a sudden there's no app store access, even if somebody's already downloaded TikTok to their phone, they can't get the software updates. And so eventually the experience will get so bad that they'll just stop using the product. So this is an outright ban, however you look at it. But they didn't just do it for TikTok. They also had a second executive order that went out, and they went after Tencent Holdings, which
WhatsApp.
Is the owner of WeChat, not WhatsApp.
Oh,
Facebook
shoot.
Owns
Sorry,
WhatsApp.
WeChat.
Now here's what's really interesting. WeChat, there's people all over the internet being like, that's the only way I communicate with my family in Asia, blah, 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 whatever. And then they usually followed up with, well, we just assume that the CCP is listening. That's the whole point. That's why they don't want people to be able to spy on American citizens.
Right.
And so people historically have chosen convenience over security, but the government's not comfortable with that. And so where we end up is we are going to continue to see this ratchet up both on the American side and on the Chinese side. And as they ratchet up more and more, I saw something as crazy as what if China in retaliation comes out and says, we're no longer going to allow the distribution of American music or movies on our in China. Who's going to stop them? They can do that. It's just like they stopped Facebook and Twitter and Google and all these other people from coming to their country.
The firewall. Hey.
Should we have a great
Guys,
American firewall?
No. Guys, look. The only things we have there are the vitamin C and the wine.
That's all you need in life. All right, what's next?
All right, so this is also interesting. Twitter is going to begin labeling the accounts of media outlets affiliated with the governments of countries on the UN National Security Council. So the new labels won't apply to all media outlets, only outlets where the state exercises control over editorial content through financial resources, direct or indirect political pressures, and or control over production and distribution. So the labels will go on the accounts of China Daily, Russia Today, Sputnik, and other media outlets, but not Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, which are funded by the U.S. government, or NPR and the BBC. And the Post described NPR and the BBC as state-financed media organizations with editorial independence. I thought that was really interesting.
Everybody's got an angle. They're trying to figure out how to let people know. No, nobody's going to care. It is what it is. It's all propaganda. There's no truth. Yeah. It's all propaganda.
Well, maybe now people are going to be like, oh, I'm getting my news from Russia Today. Like, maybe I should diversify my news intake.
Would they do that because of a label? Maybe? Is that your
argument? Yeah, like, because it's really hard to see on Facebook, and then you end up sharing fake news. But anyway, fun fact, Voice of America, that's what my, during communist Bulgaria, that's what my dad would try and hide and try to listen to Voice of America.
Evo, if you're watching, shout out. You beast. Right. I mean, look, yes, they should absolutely go ahead and label stuff, but it's always going to be a cat and mouse game. There's going to be a new one that pops up that they don't know about, whatever. All right, what's up?
All right. So Uber just reported second quarter results, including revenue that beat analyst expectations, but declined by about 29% from $3.17 billion during the same period last year. Its food delivery is doing well. Ride hailing, not so much.
Well, total business revenue is down 30%, 29% year over year, which is not good, obviously. People thought it would be worse, which is what Plenty just said right there. But the key piece of this is the food delivery business is now bigger than the ride sharing.
Doubled itself, yeah.
Now, 2x on the food delivery business, the rider business fell off. But the question is, how quickly will the ride-sharing part of the business come back? And can the food delivery side stay as the leader in the business? We don't know yet. That's what it's going to take some time to figure out. But I do think that it's very interesting. All of a sudden, you can't say that Uber's a ride-sharing company. You'd have to say that they're a food delivery company. Yeah. It's a bigger business. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it's kind of like how Facebook was a, you know, find my friend type thing. And now it's...
Well, and then flip side of the argument, Lyft doesn't do food delivery. Mm. So they're just getting smacked right in the chin with the ridership down.
Lyft is doing car rentals instead.
Of course, but they're all, remember what we talked about? They're going to have to do geographic expansion to continue to seek growth. They're already doing that. Now they're having to also create more product lines or revenue lines, and that's what we're watching both of them do right here.
All right, are you ready for this?
Let's see. Am I going to be upset?
A little bit. Okay. So there's the Aspen Institute published a report that warns that the United States may be facing the most severe housing crisis in history if conditions do not change, with up to 43% of renter households facing eviction this year. That's up to 40 million Americans could be evicted by the end of this year.
Well, they're definitely not going to get evicted. So this is what? Dumb. Because
could get.
No, because the laws are preventing anyone from being evicted. So there are specific things around rent freezes, eviction protection, like all that kind of stuff. Now, when those end, yes, there could be a lot of people evicted, and likely there will be, unfortunately. But the other piece of this...
The federal protections on evictions expired on July 24th.
Ooh, so, I learned something today. Exactly. Look at that. So those eviction protections are over now?
Yes.
My guess is, and I don't know this for sure, but that sounds about the same time that the federal unemployment insurance, like the beef up, the additional amount, also was there. And so if that's true, then what I wonder is, because the 24th, I think it was March 24th when the stimulus package was like announced or whatever. Yeah. So it was 3 months, whatever it was. I wonder then if in the new stimulus package, will they reinstate those eviction protections?
Oh,
so we'll see. I don't know for sure, but we'll see there. But the other piece is like, why are people going to get evicted? It's because they lost their jobs. So I saw a crazy stat, I apologize. I wish I remembered. It was either Maine, New Hampshire, or Vermont. It was one of those, one of those states up there. 41% of private businesses have gone out of business this year.
Wow.
41% of private businesses.
That's pretty crazy. Dumb. But private businesses meaning like any private business or like restaurants and cafes?
Those are all private businesses.
I know, but like, does it include my private business?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. It's a private business in the state. Right, so you get it registered in the state. And so when you think about that, you're just like, wow, that's really bad. And so if you have a bunch of people that are losing their businesses, that means you've got a bunch of people who are unemployed. And then if you don't have the beefed up unemployment insurance, then that means that people don't literally don't have the money to pay rent. Right? They're choosing between should I get food or should I buy rent or should I pay rent? What are they gonna do? Of course they're gonna buy food. So it's just a really bad situation. And the crazy part is that we absolutely need people to come together in Congress and the Senate and pass a stimulus package. We got a bunch of people running around, a bunch of like 70 plus year olds running around arguing with each other over how many trillions of dollars they're going to give to folks. Who cares? Get it done. Let's go. That's all I got to say.
I like your rants.
Listen, I just spit the facts.
You spit them?
Yeah.
And you yell them?
Yeah. People may not like it, but okay. It's the truth.
Ready? The NFL's deadline was 4 p.m. Eastern on Thursday for players to voluntarily opt out of the season if they don't want to play amid the coronavirus pandemic. More than 60 players have informed the league they intend to opt out. Interesting.
Do they get paid?
I don't think so. Players who opt out of the season are paid $150,000 salary advance.
My brother wrote about this. So my brother
will be paid back.
Yeah, my brother Joseph he just started a new newsletter, and what he's basically writing about is the money in sports or the money in business behind sports. And what he was making an argument was basically this $150,000. If you're a rookie and you're about to get cut because training camp got cut short,
Better for you.
Well, rather than get cut and get paid nothing, you should just take the $150,000 and then live to like fight another day, right? Like come back to camp next year. And so, look, a bunch of these guys are going to have to make all kinds of decisions. Yeah. The fact that 60 people opted out is pretty crazy. And I think it was in the NFL, one of the guys opted out to continue to serve as like a hospice worker in his hometown and keep fighting coronavirus.
That's really crazy. Oh, I'm going to cry. Don't make me cry. Okay.
You're going to cry?
No, we're good.
It's like a...
It's just a touching story.
Yeah. You remember Pat Tillman?
Yes.
Yeah. They got killed by his own guys and the army lied about it. Facts.
He made me watch that. I cried. It's just facts. The whole thing.
You see, I told you. I'm always going to tell you guys the truth. He got killed by his own guys. All right. What else we got?
All right. I don't know what I was covering. I was trying not to show you, but I'm going to show you. I thought it was my joke, but it's not. So, okay. So there's this no drama llama. It's a real live llama. Look at it. Let me show the people. You see this llama? And it's being walked.
Yeah, Caesar. Okay. Caesar,
the no-drama llama, is helping keep the peace at Portland protests.
His name is Caesar McCool.
McCool. The no-drama llama. So he tends to diffuse situations, and people enjoy being in his company, his owner told Insider. Once a champion, the animal now works as a therapy llama and a llama activist. How do you say that? Llama activist?
They combine the words llama and activist.
So,
because it ends in an A, get it?
So Caesar is a retired 6-year-old grand champion show llama turned llama activist, and it's been providing therapy services in llama love at the Portland protests over the last few months.
And hold on. It ain't working.
Well, it is.
You've seen the videos online. They're shooting tear gas at each other and kidnapping people off the streets. No. So obviously the llama isn't working.
No, but look, people are tweeting like, I for one am all for Caesar the no drama llama turning up at the protest, and people are hugging it. I like this idea. What?
Just so we're all clear. I don't know about you guys, but these are not the same types of photos that I've been checking out from the protest in Portland.
Okay, well, it's helping.
Look, I love the idea. Therapy dogs, therapy llamas, whatever you want to do. Bring everyone McDonald's, whatever. Just try to get it to everyone chill out.
When Larry McCool, I think that's the man, takes the llama to marches, though, he's especially careful about its safety. When tear gas is going off, they get out of the way.
Oh, that's really smart. What a smart guy.
Wow. All
right.
Anyway, it's a cool llama.
Do you like...
I love the llama.
Llama? Caesar McCool?
Yeah. Hold on, let me find a joke. Guys, no internet is weird.
Yeah. I had to listen. I had actually talked to Polina today.
Oh, it was crazy.
I just took a nap.
No,
I wish.
You didn't.
No, I've been dealing with all the Wi-Fi people.
Okay. What do you call a bear with no teeth?
A bear with no teeth? I don't know.
A gummy bear? Because it's like gums. It's funny. Come on, laugh. Come on.
That was a good
one. Yay.
I didn't think it was funny, but it was like clever.
All right, guys.
It was intriguing use of the American language to...
It's not American language. It's English.
No, I know, but Americans have a monopoly on it.
Okay, Italian.
Playing against real mad when I call it American language. I think it's funny. All right, that's it for Lunch Money today. While Wall Street's trying to get rich, the rest of us just trying to get our lunch money right. Don't play with the bears. Don't play with the llamas. Just stay inside.
Stay a no-drama llama. I'm going to start calling you that.
See you guys.
Bang, bang. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Lunch Money as much as we did.
And don't forget, Lunch Money is now sponsored by BlockFi, so go check them out. There's a link in the description that you can click on. I'm an investor, a user, and a huge fan. What?
You're a bigger fan of BlockFi than you are of me?
BlockFi is my second favorite thing in the world behind Polina. They've got three products. They can give you a US dollar loan. You can earn up to 8.6% interest on an interest-bearing account, or you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies on their crypto exchange. I personally use the interest-bearing account. There's not very many places where you'll find up to 8.6% interest on a deposit in an interest-bearing account. Go do your own research. There's risk associated, but 8.6% is pretty compelling. So click on the link in the description. Say thanks to the folks at BlockFi. Subscribe to our channel. Like the video. Annoy Polina in the comments. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
And be kind to your friends.